Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITHINKTHISISGREAT.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Boston Baxter Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Egg proudly present No Borders, No Mix, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Art Squad.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 270 of No Borders, No Race. I am your King David Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And don't worry, this isn't a very special episode. This is a very normal episode of No Borders, No Race. But I do want to thank everyone who participated in the Stop Asian Hate episode, as well as Steve Lombardo for the Punks for Autism episode. These are both shows that I was very proud to produce for all of you. And I hope you all enjoyed what we were able to bring to the mic. In other news, I am disappointed to announce that I won't be going to Japan this summer. I knew the writing was on the wall regarding this year's trip, but it still sucks when it's spelt out for you. I am hoping that things will be back to a new normal next summer as the Cultural Exchange Initiative plans to open its English school in Mino, Japan in 2022. But man, I just really need to be over there ASAP, because I haven't been to Japan since 2007, and the fact that I have friends there that I haven't seen in years, as well as friends that I've made online but I've yet to meet in person, it just makes me sad that I haven't seen them in a very, very long time. One day, though, this will hopefully be fixed. I may be doing more teaching online over the summer, so we'll see how that goes. In any case, not going this year still stings like you don't know it. But enough disappointing stuff. Let's move on to today's show. On today's episode of No Borders, No Race, Mortal Kombat! Plus, another classic video game gets the Battle Royale treatment, and me and the boys simp all over the best anime girl of 2021. But first, let's start today's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find their music on CD Japan, Amazon, Yes Asia, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're starting off the show with the latest single from Yuki, best known for her stint as the front woman of Judy and Mary. This new song of hers is called Baby, It's You. ナイスのがスマイル未開の地に指先で鳴らすタイムウェイ風に乗った旋律ちぎれてしまうわのように一層抜かれて約束なんて待ってない運命線なんて書き
イアンはナイスピンチです。予想もしないフレーズヒーデオスティーヴィー・ウェイボーン、さらに乗ったごちさんが冷めてしまわぬうちに、どうぞおいしく召し上がれ。学歴なんて持ってない、修正ペン出して書き直した、
show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special, and I'll be with my good friend Evan Borgald, and you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese, and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show. Yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
Walking alone on the bumpy mother road. What have brought me here? What am I doing here? My body's shadow just quite follows me. Today. So dance across louder than your words. Nobody can erase what I've done. Ripples, breaths, and rest of your mind. Affected and infected one by one. Actions speak louder than your words. Nobody can erase what I've done. Ripples, breaths, and rest of your mind. Affected and infected one by one. Actions speak louder than your words. Nobody can erase what I've done. A ripple spreads and rest of your mind. A fact that I'm fact one by one. Actions speak louder than it was. Nobody can erase what you've done. Ripple spreads and rest of your mind. A fact that I'm fact one by one. Certainty of future life. Can you let the freedom die in your hands? Gravity of the rest of your mind.
From their self-titled release, that was our good friend Sawa's Fool with Half Moon. And our good friend Sawa has in some way returned to the spotlight as the anime adaptation of the video game The World Ends With You has been using a couple of her songs as the series opener. You know, she and I chat every other week and she's always a blast to chat with. She's actually one of the people whom I've become great friends with but have never met in person. So hopefully next year when I go to Japan, that will be fixed. Now, speaking of video games, when I was a kid, no video game franchise was hotter than Mortal Kombat! Us kids loved it, and parents everywhere hated it. I mean, for its time, it was the most brutal and violent video game ever made, and despite its controversy, you couldn't escape it. T-shirts, action figures, music albums, lunchboxes, Mortal Kombat was everywhere. Even on the big screen. I still have fond memories of watching the 1995 film, which is still the only video game film adaptation Paul W.S. Anderson ever got right. And no, we're not going to talk about its shitty sequel. Anyways, after over 20 years, Mortal Kombat is back on the big screen. And look, I'm going to be real with you. It's not the best video game movie out there. Now, some of you may be thinking that I'm about to complain about the plot or acting and other things. Quite the contrary, I could give two shits about the plot. The original Mortal Kombat game technically doesn't have one. A bunch of fighters show up and they kick the living bejesus out of each other. Sometimes heads are ripped off and other times fighters get impaled on spikes far below the stage. Which leads me to my issue with this film. With there being so much gore and violence in the Mortal Kombat game, you would think that the film would emulate this action nonstop throughout the movie. And unfortunately, it doesn't. There are a couple of moments here and there where the blood and guts are showcased in a beautifully graphic nature, but those here and there moments should have been everywhere. You see a lizard man's heart being ripped out of his chest. Awesome! A warrior gets bust sawed in half, leaving their internal organs being split out of their head and chest. Fucking sweet! Another has a hole literally blown through their stomach, with us seeing their spine still intact. Badass! And the film is bookended with two battles featuring Sub-Zero and my all-time favorite, Scorpio. Great! Absolutely great! These parts are terrific. But with the exception of those bookenders, these are just little moments in a film that should have gone big. This is a problem that most film adaptations of video games have. They lack the true spirit of its source material. It's why it's such a big sigh of relief when the Sonic the Hedgehog film managed to get it right for the most part last year, which I certainly hope they continue to do with its upcoming sequel. A Mortal Kombat film should be easy to do. Hardcore violence in movies has been around since the 80s, maybe even late 70s. Hell, I have seen more gore in a classic trauma film than I have in this new Mortal Kombat movie. And when a small budgeted schlock flick has more violence than a big budgeted film, then you've really got a serious problem. Now, for those who have watched it, this Mortal Kombat film does set itself up for a sequel, as most movies seem to do these days. They don't attempt to make films in the bigger markets if there's no chance of it being franchised in a way. But this means that in the second one, they could have the chance to fix the issues of the first one. The very concept of Mortal Kombat has a go big or go home attitude. And this movie, while having some big moments, doesn't go big enough. If a second movie is made, they could very well fix that issue. Other than that, the acting's alright. I have no issue with the new character Cole Young, as he has enough of a cool factor that could find its way into the actual video game series. Kano's one-liners made me laugh in parts, and I felt like Hiroyuki Sanada truly shined as Scorpion when he was front and center. But on the whole, the Mortal Kombat film still pales in comparison to the iconic video game series that it's based on. If you want to form your own opinion on it, you can watch it right now on HBO Max, as well as at a theater near you. If I were to rate it, I'd give it maybe a 2.5 out of 5. Not the worst big screen adaptation of a video game, but very far from the best. If they try this again, they need to go bigger. Here's the latest from Liverpool's Ernest Moon, who'll be releasing a new album later this summer. This is a sneak peek from that release entitled Big Wow.
Johnny B's gears up so Bob and Weave, ready for any shit. Gonna meet Beano to get a weed, see my rear for a bit. Johnny B's keen to conquer, he wants a detached douse with a pool room, souped up Saab or a Subaru. Downstairs Bob, and then upstairs Lou. Johnny B was brought up to knuckle down in a matchbox house with his ma. Piles of smiley posh fuckers on the box, but only one Stevie Gerrard. Johnny B will tip no boxes, stick your bonus off your boss for being a good boy, your hole and squeeze it. Cause you're gonna need it if you fuck up. Milo's brother is a bingo caller, big wow. He gets the eye off Gainer, but he won't entertain the big wow. His girl's a corker, he met her in New York, a big wow. He got a grip on your shoe when she won the trips to Blue, big wow. Like a big wow. You got a kiss off your Denise when she won the flanks degrees. Big wow. Better all be.
No need for clickbait, paywalls, or shilling around. At Scarlet Rhapsody, we are an independent web zone covering conventions across the country. Scarlet Rhapsody breaks it down for you. The guests, the dealers, the culture, the cosplay, the trending fandoms, and what makes a convention worth the price of admission. Are you convention cultured? You will be. Visit us on the web at scarlet-rhapsody.com, Facebook at Scarlet Rhapsody Media, Twitter at Cons and Churros, YouTube at Scarlet Rhapsody Convention Cultured, and remember, the con is what you make of it, so make it a good one. See you at the con.
Yeah.
Zensen with Boy Meets Boys from our 2020 Japanese Album of the Year pick. I am Sakuran Zensen, and the band's supposed to play this month in Japan, but they're stuck in another lockdown, so those plans have probably been postponed again. One of 2019's biggest surprises in the video game realm was Tetris 99. Taking the classic video game and turning it into an epic battle royale looks like a recipe for disaster on paper, but it wound up being a fresh and exciting take on the long-running franchise. This has led many people to wonder whether or not they could do this for other classic video games. Well, Nintendo, alongside developer Akira, has teamed up with Bandai Namco to give their dot-eating hero a go in the Battle Royale realm in the form of Pac-Man 99. Like Tetris 99, Pac-Man 99 has you going against 98 other players, facing off in an epic round of the iconic arcade game. As the game goes on, you and your opponents will be throwing everything at one another to survive. For every ghost you eat, you'll throw in a jammer in the direction of an opponent, which could either slow down their Pac-Man or, in the most extreme cases, kill them. The object is to be the last Pac-Man standing, which is easier said than done. The idea of playing Pac-Man with others isn't entirely new, as I've seen and played four-player versions of it at my local arcade. But the idea of going up against nearly 100 others does add the same level of excitement as what Tetris 99 does. It makes the challenge of fending off ghosts and eating all the dots all the more difficult, especially if you don't time your power pellet eating right. The addition of train ghosts, which will allow you to throw more jammers quickly at your opponents, is also a neat mechanic. Personally, I've been a better player of Pac-Man than I was at Tetris, so color me surprised to see that I really suck at this game. On Tetris 99, I've been able to reach the final 10 in some cases. I barely make it out of the bottom 50 in Pac-Man 99. While Tetris 99 does better with its unpredictability, Pac-Man just straight up massacres you, even if you see it coming your way. And that's what makes it such a tough game. Your strategy to survive can be swiped from you in a flash. You can attempt to clear blocks when you're close to losing in Tetris 99, but there's no escaping when you're cornered by ghosts and the deadly red jammers. I'll admit that Pac-Man 99 doesn't have the same pull as Tetris 99. I always get that just one more game feeling whenever I play Tetris 99, but Pac-Man 99 can often frustrate you to the point of walking away from the game. And I feel like this is what will keep Pac-Man 99 from being the runaway hit that Tetris 99 was. It's a very fun game, but it doesn't take hold of you in the same way Tetris 99 or even the unfortunately no longer running Super Mario Bros. 35 did. I certainly hope more classic games are given this 99 treatment, as I think there are plenty that would be awesome to experience as a battle royale. But Pac-Man 99 is just an inky shy of being able to drag its players into a non-stop multiplayer fight to the finish. It's still a good game. It's just not as masterful as Tetris 99. Right then, let's go back to some more music. We've got something new from Japan's King of Funk, Bradio. They just dropped a new album called Joyful Style, and it's wicked, wicked good. From that release is Fitness Funk. Fitness Funk!
Showtime 腹の奥のマクロ経験もいいぞ取り除いてステップワンツーステップ君のもっとジューシーな顔見して Oh baby 凝り固まったハートにストレッチ効果ハーモニーそれがこの歌の醍醐味むちゃくちゃしてきれちゃっベリーもちろん聞くのはメイベリー高鳴る鼓動がたんまり気がつけマッチョメンBeat に乗って、ジャムやっちゃって、肩や。
I'm Manda, and together we're Black and Pat. We're a growing community focused on diversity, inclusion, representation, conversation, and fun on Twitch. Want to be fam?
For chill community vibes, Wednesday nights at 7, join BC Row for the Wednesday Wind Down.
Friday nights, join us for Let's Plays, where we explore narrative and single-player campaign games. Stop by on Fridays at 7. Catch our flagship podcast, The Tribunal, live every other Sunday at 3 p.m., where we talk about issues that are important to us as Black women.
Issues like representation, inclusion, diversity, and more within the video games and entertainment industries. Check our channel and social handles to find out when a new Tribunal is going to drop.
We've got even more content on our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter handles, and our website, blackandpat.com.
So join in the conversation in whatever way you like at Black and Pat. Remember, always and.
Never or.
All times are Eastern.
Basic, but just like a pop out said, keep your mouth shut and you'll be fine. Just another enlisted today in the bowl for Uncle Sam's beater. But when you get the damn neck, hear a voice in your head saying, my life's no longer mine. Have you running with some SAD, SOG, BMF, Sam Eaters? That first port call in Thailand feels like a polywog turning 19. They got king cobras fighting in boxing rings and all the angels play connect four. Well, it seemed like a sailor's paradise, but it turns out to be a bad dream. When I hit the ground running in Tokyo from Kawasaki, coast to Yokohama and Shinjuku, Shibuya, Roppongi, and Harajuku. On the Busan and Pohang, patio to Phuket, Singapore to Kuala Lumpur. Sing damn near the whole damn world from the inside of all. I got to see stories, they're all true. Might sing a little bit far. Ship off course, horizon gets so hazy. Baby, get high, play a little golden eye at old 64. And if you get sick and can't manage to kick and get yourself kicked out of the Navy, spend the next year trying to score.
Critically acclaimed album, A Sailor's Guide to Earth, that was Sturgill Simpson with Sea Stories. And if you haven't yet, I highly recommend reading the comic prequel to his 2019 album and anime film, Sound and Fury. It's all kinds of badass. Joining me right now are two of my best buds in the anime realm. First and foremost, he is the creator of the webcomic series Solarian Sun and a fellow member of the Wicked Anime Podcast, AFLM Andrew Fleming.
Oh, hello.
And lastly, he is a YouTuber, he is a singer, and he is the man who spends countless hours pixelating out Sid Snape's videos, Dakota Broski.
Hi, how's it going, everybody? Hey, it's Dakota Broski here.
Yeah, so before we begin our conversation, we should let our listeners know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we are all proud members of the Dark-Skinned Anime Girl Fan Club, am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
So, with that, in any anime or video game, dark-skinned anime girls are always the best characters by default. We got Tione and Tiona from Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon, Uruka Takamoto from We Never Learn, Amy from Gargantia of the Viridius Planet, and you will defy the Kataro Kataro if you don't have Aisha Clan Clan of Outlaw Star on this list. Am I forgetting anybody?
Yes. So I was actually, I'm actually working on a fan art piece right now. And one of my things is if there's one thing that anime does right, it's how they draw their dark-skinned bunny girls. Because we got Mirko from My Hero Academia, and we got Fran from Final Fantasy. So, you know, yeah. Bunny girl, dark-skinned bunny girls. That's pretty popular.
Oh, yeah, and I'm looking at the plushie right now of Shantae from the Shantae series. Technically, that counts.
It does, it does. I will argue the one that does not count is Inkomi-san with Mambagi. Not best girl, not by any far means. So maybe there are exceptions to this rule.
It depends, because, you know, it's not just about the dark-skinned aspect. It's about the character. But by default, most dark-skinned anime girls tend to be the best in both character development and in personality.
Yeah. They're usually accompanied by tomboy.
Yes, they're always accompanied by a tomboy.
Yeah, because they're always out doing sports and stuff like that. They get a nice little tan. That's sometimes exactly.
Yes.
Like Nagatoro, she's on the swim team.
Yes, which brings us to our topic today, a new challenger on this list, the title character of Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. Now, before we dive into the anime adaptation, I had to ask, what was your introduction to Nagatoro? Because for me, it was through a doujin by an artist by the name of Ryoha Tsuzuya called The Skillful Teaser Nagatoro-san. And I swear to God, that's just Nanashi under another alias.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I am laughing.
All right. Do you know Nanashi, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, good. Not typing in the title of that doujin, by the way, at the moment.
See, I did my homework.
I did my homework.
Well, I mean, I'm plenty familiar with Nanashi and Nanashi's work. I don't know if we're still on the topic of how we were introduced to Nagatoro, but yeah. I'm pretty sure within the realm of the popularity of anime and dark-skinned girls just kind of being on the radar of characters that are aesthetically appealing. I'm sure I came across that character when she was first introduced into the realm of art and, Nagatoro is a thing. And I just never got around to reading the comic because I've seen snippets of the comic here and there. I mean, by now, at this point, I have, in fact, read the comic, not a lot of it. I think I've just read the first volume of it. But I came familiar with her way later, and I was more familiar with the series just by fan art alone. Being in the artist realm, every artist has drawn Nagatoro. So that's pretty much how I was familiar with the series and her, was all of the fan art that all the artists I know pump out. Like, Omar Dogan has done plenty of Nagatoro fan art.
Oh, yeah, I've seen his. This is excellent.
I'm on his tail. Yeah.
Well, there's actually an illustration book by other manga artists that drew short stories of Nagatoro from their art style and perspective of what Nagatoro is. It's pretty cool. It's like the, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's like this Nagatoro illustration book or whatever. But it's like made up of like six stories from different well-known artists of like other slice of life manga that drew Nagatoro. It's pretty cool to look at. So, my intro into Nagatoro was when I was bartending pretty heavily. I would go when it got really slow at nights, like around like it's Monday at like 12 to 2. And like around like 12 to 1, there's like nobody in there because it's like a certain sports bar and everybody's out partying. But every now and then, they would come back in around like right before 2 o'clock and get like their last round. I would stay for that instead of closing up shop. So I would say, oh, I got nothing to do. I'll read manga. So I saw the meme of it was the sipping the juice, the tomato juice meme, where she's sipping the juice with the dumb. I think the meme was like dumb bitch juice and like me, quote unquote me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to read Nagatoro because I was reading Komi-san. I really love Komi-san. I said, you know, I'll read Nagatoro. And that's where I fucking just binged as many chapters as they had. I think they had 30 at the time. But I just read all of them.
It's interesting that you were comparing that to Komi-san, because Nagatoro, for me, like, I was comparing more to, like, Karakai Jozo no Takagi-san, or even Uzaki-chan yeah. wants to hang out.
Well, I think the reason why I'm comparing it is because they're just the two top dogs at the moment when it comes to manga recommendations or manga sites.
Oh, yeah, without question. Like, Komi's a really good series. Andrew, you've read Komi, right?
No. I'm very familiar with the art and the examples, and I follow Viz on Instagram, so I see a lot of Komi posting, but I've never actually read it.
Just the number one Komi-san YouTuber here, don't mind me. not by numbers, but by as many videos as I do.
Yeah.
Speaking of the YouTube, you've actually done a video, Dakota, about Nanashi's doujin works.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even scratch the surface, by the way. I just wanted to talk about it. It was like an 8-minute video where I just talked about, like, what Nanashi's done in the past, and, like, you know how it translates over to Nagatoro, and it's like, I didn't even talk about the monkey one, or the pig one, or the body mutilation one, or the vampire lolly one, or I can keep going. I don't want to.
I don't think you should. Keep going. Let's just say that if you thought Nanashi or Nagatoro was brutal, you have to read Nanashi's other works and understand this is Nanashi when he's tame.
This is tame. It's like Takagi Sot levels of tame.
See, that's what's funny is when I used to collect doujins, I don't collect doujins anymore, and I actually pretty much disposed of all of them. I came to realize that when I was going through them that I actually had a Nanashi doujin in my collection without even knowing it, and it was the Naruto Hinata one.
Oh,
like right after
that.
They got married, which is basically like it's basically like his How to Make a Boruto doujin, and it was adorable and wholesome, and I was just like, that's Nanashi's work, like, wow, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's done a lot of like Naruto Hine stuff, like Nanashi has like two styles of like doujins, like we either really small petite Nagatoro or just big old bouncing honkers. No in between.
Yeah, which is funny because I'm far more into petite women aesthetically in real life, but
absolutely.
So yeah, same here. I guess we're all part of that fan club too.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, it is funny because I mean, as most anime artists are, most of them start in the doujin world, but you never really know until you research it. It's like, oh, it's this guy. Like in the same way that when you found out that Yosh, who did Food Wars, was a doujin artist, you're like, oh, that makes sense. And oh, I've definitely seen a Yosh comic before.
Or the Elder Sigil like one.
Yeah.
Is another good example, yeah.
So and then you just find out, Nanashi, he's doing this comic about this girl who's bullying this guy. Is oh, I could see that he does doujins, I guess. It's not that far of a stretch.
I saw the Nanashi doujin, and I was like, whoa, Nanashi does doujins? And I thought about it for like literally 0.2 seconds. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not that far of a stretch. It'd be like if somebody like Shindo L was to make an anime series, and then you're just like, oh, that guy made doujins? You'd probably be like, yeah, like, no kidding.
Yeah, no. I think every big-named manga creator has started in the doujin department before they made, like, their most well-known art.
Sergeant Frog.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, what?
That's one of the best stretch. Examples.
That's the biggest stretch I've ever seen.
Yeah. So before this turns into a conversation about that sort of
doujins,
yeah. Let's go back to Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. And I know you just mentioned about the bullying aspect, Andrew, but at first it does start like that. But as the series progresses, it turns more into like teasing and even acts of dorkiness from Nagatoro.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I allowed to info dump right now, like everything that's on my mind? Because I'm technically, even though I've known about Nagatoro for probably, I don't know how long it's been coming out, but ever since it even just started being released as a webcomic, I've known about Nagatoro, but I'm still very Bush League when it comes to Nagatoro because I've only just started reading and watching it because of the anime's release. So I didn't know a whole lot about it. So if you would allow me, I can oddly enough, explain to you what it's what that experience for me is like.
Yeah, go right ahead. And then Dakota, absolutely, since you are the simp here, you can explain afterwards.
Well, and that's just it, is I want this to be the finest comparison to what it's like for me as like this minor league Nagatoro fan to Dakota's, like, he's been doing this for years at this point. Like, I know everything about it. So get ready for this, Dakota.
Let's go.
All right.
So when I first started watching the anime, the first episode of the anime, I didn't realize it was going to be that brutal in the sense of when I first heard of the concept of the story, I thought the whole senpai kohai thing was going to be they knew each other from something, like maybe he was her tutor or maybe they were in a club together. And then I watched the first episode and it's like, no, she just met him on random happenstance as a freshman and just started bullying him because he couldn't do his self-insert comic book because he's just an anime nerd. And I was just like, huh, what a strange way to meet somebody and just instantly start bullying them and making fun of them. And for a moment, it was like a little bit uncomfortable, but not because Nagatoro was bullying him, but because he was such a beta male and couldn't deal with anything.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, he was like, yeah, it's so, and the anime actually drug that out more. I felt more uncomfortable watching the anime.
Yeah. Right.
Than
yeah.
I did in the manga. Cause he just, he was sitting there miserable.
Like while watching the anime version, I was like, huh, I don't remember it being this uncomfortable when reading the manga version.
Yeah, it's like, you're a little fucking bitch, senpai, aren't you? Huh? And it's like, dude, I went to the library today.
And I was just thinking about, like, comparing it to myself, because I honestly I can't really relate to senpai, mostly because I don't exert that kind of personality. And actually, that's actually a lot of my issue with anime at the moment is most anime protagonists are very bitch, and I hate that because I can't relate. And so. But don't get me wrong, this has nothing to do whether I like it in the series. I love the series. I'm loving it. And especially when I got to episode 2 and 3, where it instantly flatlined on how brutal the bullying was from the first episode. And I did not expect, here's the second thing I didn't expect from being a novice of the series. I did not expect episode 2 and 3 to go instantly into the hitting of Nagatoro secretly likes him, because that was so heavy-handed. On top of the first episode, it's so heavy-handed that she's brutally bullying this kid who can't stick up for himself. That was so foreign to me, because I would think, you know, it would be a will-they-won't-they series, which it still kind of is a will-they-won't-they series, but I thought it would be more of a secret that she liked him in some sort of way. But they just put it right out there, like, oh, she obviously likes him. And I didn't expect that. I thought that was going to be kind of a big reveal, but no, that's just kind of part of the series that she bullies him because she likes him.
Mm-hmm. So, and you know what? I feel like if it was more presented, like, in the first episode, that aspect, it would have been a little bit better, because in the manga, like, you kind of already get that feeling that she likes him from those first couple episodes, but the anime version kind of takes that out of the first episode.
Yeah, I was, there's also those, like, little in-between chapters, where it has a picture of Nagatoro going, hey, I probably overdid a little bit, oops, my bad, like, talking to yourself.
Yeah.
So, with Nagatoro and, liking senpai...
that was weird. Oh, that was really weird.
Oh my god! You fucker! You.
I gotta go. Bye.
We've crossed over into new levels of breaking reality. Okay.
Like, I heard that and went, "Oh shit."
That was fucking weirdly timed. Thank you, Cupcake, for going live on Twitch at that exact moment. With Nagatoro liking senpai, I would say it goes beyond, like, just, oh, it's Nagatoro liking senpai, because, like, from what I get from the series, is that Nagatoro sees like the art or whatever of Senpai and then starts fucking with him. But I think Nagatoro sees Senpai as like a way out of like what she normally does with like, you know, she's a preppy girl with all these preppy bitchy girls, well, she is one. Mm-hmm. She sees Senpai as kind of a way out to break out of that, be weird a little bit, and you know, bully him a little bit by also bonding with him over the fact that they're not doing like special preppy things, you know what I mean? So like, it's not more or less Nagatoro likes Senpai, it's more or less Nagatoro just really enjoys Senpai's company despite fuck, she really enjoys like, all the games that she does, all the weird like, you know, playful things.
Yeah.
When she takes it too far sometimes, you know, she's just really enjoying herself.
Exactly. And I feel like that's one of the aspects of Don't Toy With Me Nagatoro that's great, is like, it's not just hanging out. Like, it's somewhat seen at the end of the first episode, but Nagatoro kind of sort of starts to come up with like a plan to help give Senpai or Paisen a backbone of sorts to better himself in society.
Oh yeah, and like it doesn't happen automatically, but throughout the series as the manga goes, he gets like a little bit more. I wouldn't say he's like full on macho man, but like especially with his arc right now, he's taking like Nagatoro's advice and like, you know, kind of like stepping up for himself every now and
then. Right, he grows a pair.
Yeah, he grows a pair.
Yeah, I. That was one of my biggest questions is as I continued to read the manga, I didn't know it was still going on because it's been out for so long. I would have assumed that, it's around chapter 80, and I would have thought like, oh wow, it's been going on for this long, it's gotta have an ending by now. But I suppose with its popularity, you'd want to keep it going, but in a certain sense you also want to try to keep it to a concise story where they can actually resolve some things that they've started.
Then so. There's Komi-san. Look, we're 300 chapters in the Komi-san. I don't want it to end, but it could end anytime. And I'm like, it's been doing the same thing. Komi's cute and does the cute thing today. That's about it.
Yeah.
with Nagatoro, it's for 80 chapters, there are small little arcs that, like, for example, I think that the way things are going now, I think the season one is going to end on the school festival arc where they introduce the president of the art club.
Yes.
Spoilers, okay. Not really spoilers, but I'm not. It's fine. You don't even know what's going to happen. You have no idea. It's going to be great. But that's kind of where, and that's all the way to chapter 30, you know? So with that being said, Nagatoro just did another kind of small arc, more explaining Nagatoro's backstory, not and like why she's a, you know, annoying bullying girl, but of more of like, you know, her other personal life, you know, like her sports and whatnot, and other friends, which is really cool. So I think the relationship between Nagatoro and Senpai can grow and become more than just we're in the art classroom and I'm fucking with you. I this is a terrible time to ask. Am I allowed to cuss on this podcast?
Yes, you can curse.
Okay. I was...
Fuck yes, you can curse, Dakota. It's okay.
All right.
I just don't. I don't often. So I throw people for a loop. It's just like, why isn't he cursing? Are we not allowed? It's like, no, I just don't.
When Andrew curses, it's like a unicorn appears. It's magical.
I think they can develop on Nagatoro and Senpai's relationship and they can probably grow from it, but right now we're still at the phase of like they're obviously a little close to each other more now, but they're still Nagatoro, hey Senpai, you want to do this, you little pervert, what are you doing, huh, what are you doing, you're acting a little sussy, a little sus.
And so another thing that I've learned from Nagatoro is the high school slang Paisen. Is that actual Japanese high school slang? Because I've never heard it before outside of this series.
I think it might be just exclusive to Nagatoro.
Yeah, what is that? What is Paisen?
It's Senpai.
I mean, it's slipping. Yeah, it's just Senpai, but they just moved half of the word to the back, and I don't know. It's.
Oh, yeah, that is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Paisen. Like, not even good enough to be Senpai. And that was a good episode recently, episode 3, that just released.
Episode 3 was wonderful.
Right here, we're going to take a bit of a music break, but we will be back with more of our Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro discussion. And right now, we are actually going to spin the opening theme. Here is the voice of 2021's best girl, Sumire Uesaka, with Easy Love.
Culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings,
digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
I wanna kiss you, love me, baby. I wanna kiss you.
2019's excellent Hell Like Heaven release. And the Peggies are back this spring season with their end theme contribution to the hit anime series My Hero Academia. And as always, it's a damn good song. And now, here's part two of our Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro discussion featuring AFLM and Dakota Broski.
Okay, so maybe we should actually start talking about the episodes themselves. Because like I said, the first episode was increasingly uncomfortable. I was just like, wow, I didn't expect that kind of level of just belligerent getting at this guy. And then episode two came out. I was like, I really enjoy this series. And then episode three came out, and I was just like, it's perfect. Let's go. I'm gonna keep watching it. I also find that the anime, I mean, because a manga is drawn, you can do a lot more as far as character positioning and just putting them in this like amorphous space and time where Nanashi doesn't actually have to draw a scene. You just understand that they're in a cafe and they're sitting in seats. But then when episode two came out, he actually placed them in a universe to actually sit in seats and in a booth where you can actually see like where they're spying on each other and whatever. And the art itself translates so well over to what the anime is doing. Oh, man. And I'm going to talk about the
I want to mention because Telecom is the people who are animating it, and they were responsible for the previous two seasons of Lupin the Third, and they just hit a grand slam with that. I love how they capture Nagatoro in this show, especially when it comes to when she gets that crazed look in her eyes. Like, that is just perfect how they were able to do that.
It's like Hirano Kota levels of anime eyes.
Yeah.
That's a Helsing reference for people who don't know.
You just said what I was about to say. But I also like in the show, and we were talking about episode three, just the look in her eyes when her other girlfriend was about to touch Senpai.
Oh, the yandere face. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and she does not lose that.
And see, that's why, like, that scene alone was so good. And that's, like, my biggest argument so far. It's like, she clearly likes him to a bigger degree than she's just bullying him because she wants to be friends.
Oh, yeah,
she clearly doesn't even want other women around him, like, to do this. Like, only I can bully him, I can like him.
She had that don't fuck with my man look in her eyes.
Yeah, and exactly. The moment where he's like, hey, you're not even senpai, you're paisen or something like that, which is, like, weird. I don't know why Japanese do it. I don't, like, not because, like, you know, why do they do that, but I don't know really realistic why they do it. But I guess people just switch around names every now and then just to fuck with people, I guess. I don't know. So when she's like, oh, you're paisen, you know, you're not a paisen, you're like, you're an insect, you're a bug, you're nothing.
Yeah.
And Nagatoro's like, yeah, that's a little, you're taking it too far, kid. Like,
yeah,
turn it down a bit. Now you're fucking place.
Well, and then after that is when Senpai is just like, I just want to tell you that she's not my girlfriend, and whatever he said.
She
reacted adversely to that. That statement. So I was just like, oh man, like, read the room here, bro.
Yeah. It's funny too, because they actually, there's a lot of a few minor changes in the anime compared to the manga that add to scenes, which makes me really happy, because it shows not only with the production, it just goes to show how much, like, the director and the writers and all this stuff care about this series or want good. Because, like, in that scene, Nagatoro just says, hey, Senpai just goes, hey, she's not my girlfriend, and then goes back to eating. And that was the scene, right? In the anime, he does this, but he stands up, he gets the attention of the whole cafeteria. It's such a more dramatic scene than it was in the manga, and it actually added to it.
Yeah.
Another example was episode one, when they're walking home, Nagatoro pushes Senpai. And in the manga, he pushes Senpai, and it's like, oh, you're really light. Oops. In the anime, he fucking falls into a river.
Yeah.
It's such more of an animated scene. Like,
like, whoops. That was actually one, because I watched the first episode of the anime first, and then I started reading the manga to kind of catch up. And that was one of the biggest shocks, that I was just like, oh, that's a weird change, because getting pushed into the river is a little bit more cartoony and out there. But her reaction was kind of the same, where she felt bad about doing it afterwards. She's like,
really light.
I didn't want to, like, hurt him. But, and it kind of had that same effect. But when he falls down and he doesn't fall into the river cartoonishly in the manga and just falls on his face, it's a lot more it's a lot more pathetic and kind of sad. And I actually genuinely feel bad for Nagatoro for pushing him down and being like, oops, I really actually didn't mean to do that. And, like, I don't know, there was something about it. It's two different reactions from two different mediums, but I liked both.
Yeah, without question. Has there been anything disappointing regarding the anime adaptation? Because I have noticed that they have been skipping a couple of chapters.
I was about to say no, but, like, yeah.
I don't think they're skipping chapters. I think they might be rearranging them, because Nagatoro can kind of be told in any order they want to tell it.
All right. Because I'm hoping that they still find a way to animate the fantasy video game chapter, which is the one where... Okay, so you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think that was in the trailer, wasn't it? Didn't they do that in the trailer?
Episode 3, you saw Nagatoro actually dressed up as the character that she's playing.
Well, he has a dream, right? It's a dream where he's like...
Yeah, that's the dream, yeah.
Yeah.
There's two chapters I really won't... Well, I'll talk about disappointment first, and I'll talk about that. Nothing really disappointing. Voice it was great. Everything's... I've never experienced this before, but I am in such bliss that, like, I never had this happen before in my 15 years of watching anime, where a very big manga that I'm really passionate about got this perfect adaptation that I love. So there's obviously be, like, you know, selfish desires that I want. Like, for example, I want... there's a few chapters I really want animated. There's the one, I think chapter 14, where they have to animate it. They have to. Where Senpai is distracted in the library and he's drawing, like, Nagatoro as, like, a cat girl in the fantasy world in his manga.
Yeah.
And then Nagatoro finds out about it, and it's the biggest shit-eating grin she has, where she's like, what is this? I think that's going to be animated, but they did skip over a few other chapters already. And But it kind of makes sense, though, because like you said, the dream one, you know, I could see them including it later, because like you said, it's not really a compound story where you need to have it in order.
Right.
But they do have to get to chapter 30 at some point, because that's where in the preview they introduced the president. And if they do want to end on the school festival arc, they're going to skip over at least Rent a Girlfriend, right? Rent a Girlfriend covered like 4 or 5 volumes in like 12 episodes, and it's fucking bonkers to think about how much they skip, but it still worked.
Well, you're talking to someone who despised Rent a Girlfriend, so.
Oh. I despise Mommy. Loved Rent a Girlfriend. But I think the anime worked out a lot better because they skipped a lot of the riffraff. But with Nagatoro, I just want everything to be animated, but I don't think it's going to be. They're going to fit everything in there, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'll accept it.
They're hitting major story beats. Because Nagatoro is kind of like a skit-by-skit type thing where it's just like, oh, how does he get bullied again? I think they kind of understand. It's just like, okay, well, we understand that she messes with him. And if these little sequences don't really add to the story, we're going to only stick to the ones that kind of add to the story and the characters. Mm,
absolutely.
And that's okay. Because then if you have people who are just like, oh, well, this is a really good anime, I guess I should go check out the manga, like me, then they get extra content. Like, what's so bad about that? You know?
There also, to get the people excited at home, there's definitely probably going to be a beach episode they include around episode 6 or 7. So I'm betting money on it right now. Putting money on it, before they get into the heavy school festival art, they're going to do a beach episode around 7 or 8. I'm putting money on it now.
I believe you.
And I believe that is the one where I'm pretty sure that was the inspiration of the doujin that I had read that introduced me to Nagatoro. Considering what she does.
Did you know that there was a collab between Magical Senpai and Nagatoro?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so I guess they're friends on Twitter, or they're friends in like real life or whatever. But the Magical Senpai, cool. Before it ended, they did a crossover chapter. And the interesting part about it is it's called like, I think 72.5, so it's like a half fill-in chapter, filler chapter. And the same thing for Magical Senpai. And the only difference in, because they both air at the same time in different magazines and their own story, but the only difference is one had one frame where the Magical Senpai had her top going off, and the other one had Nagatoro, and Nanashi's version was Nagatoro's top going off. So it was a pretty cool crossover. I'd love to see more of that in anime other than just Shonen Jump doing it.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Manga.
Without question. So, final thoughts on Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. Is Nagatoro best girl of 2021? I say probably yes.
Absolutely.
Well, seeing that this is one of the only animes that I'm watching this season so far, yeah, sure. And then I'll give my final thoughts. Final thoughts are the show is great. I love it. By episode 2 and 3, it had me easily. Like episode 1 was good and it's fine, but then episode 2 and 3 come out, it's just even better, which is so good because I hate it when animes fall into that trap of we put all of our animation budget into the first episode and then the rest of the series just isn't as good. Well, the rest of the series is as good and the animation is top notch. And Nagatoro's voice actor is so perfectly cast.
Oh yeah, Sumire Uesaka is fantastic in this role.
I've never heard such a perfect casting than when before I watched the Boruto movie in theaters and Sarada came on scene for the first time. I was like, yes, it's her. That's perfect. I love it. And obviously there's better examples of perfectly cast voice acting, but this is one of my favorites at the moment. She's so perfect.
I will say too that I like I like Daiki Yamashita as Senpai, but every time I hear his voice and he's put in a situation that seems a little pervy, all I can picture is him shouting plus ultra. Because he's the same voice as Deku.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, well, he's being used everywhere at the moment because he plays Deku, he's just being cast on everything.
Well, it works out. He's doing a really good twist on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, any, like, bitch main shonen character that they need is like, oh, he's got that awful prepubescent voice that we could use. It's just like we need our main character to be so weak and unrelatable to men it was like, we should cast him. Perfect. Let's go.
That's why I love Senpai a lot. Like, totally off topic. I love Senpai a lot because if you see a lot of these shows, you see a bland main character because that's supposed to be what? Like, it's supposed to be you. You're supposed to be able to relate to it, you know? And
it's the visual novel route. It's like, it's exactly. A point of view of you. It's supposed to be you around all these cute harem anime girls. Ooh, and then, can't you relate to this?
Yeah, but Senpai's just Senpai. He's his own character. You can, like, you know, there's no way of, like, almost relating to it because he's his own little. You sympathize with him, or not sympathize with him. You feel bad for him before you sympathize with him and, you know, compare yourself to him.
The even stranger part about that is the whole part of my name is, oh, no, I don't care. You're just Senpai. He doesn't even have a name.
Yep.
And and it's like where he's more relatable than a Lego block character that does have a name but no personality just for harem reasons. And so, it's so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. I highly recommend it. And it easily got me onto, well, I got to read the manga to know what's going on. And more than likely, I'll catch up with the manga before the season ends of the series, because I really love it and I love reading it and it relaxes me and it's fun to read. I'm glad that I got caught onto it now, because there's plenty of content out there for me that I don't just have to watch people draw fan art of it. Maybe I'll draw some fan art. I don't know. I don't do a lot of fan art, but I like Nargatoro, and I'm doing a Mirko fan art right now. So hey, I'll do more fan art. I don't know.
Hey. You could put Nargatoro as an Easter egg in Solarian Sun.
Yeah. Right.
Speaking of best girl, rumors are, and I've heard only rumors. I haven't seen any trailers or nothing, but they aired it on MAL. For the summer, but there's another manga out there called Jahi-sama.
Yes!
And
you and I talked about this.
It's supposed to be getting an anime this summer. I don't know how true that is, but people are saying that. It sounds way too fast for me, but if that does, that would be... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I actually... No joke, I've actually had the article pulled up on my computer for like a week now. Because I didn't want to forget about it. Because I read through the article, The Great Jahi Will Not Be Defeated. And I've known about that for a long time, too, only through fan art. And now it's, like, being developed.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things to make. We're not even getting the manga until January, or July, or June, yeah. July.
Right.
In English. So it was really weird to me to see, like, oh, we're getting an anime in July. And I'm like, really? Like, that fast? Like, all right.
Well, that's the same thing happened with Uzaki-chan, because Uzaki-chan wasn't released in America until, I think, like a month before the anime adaptation started airing in Japan.
Yeah. I think it's dubbed. Who do you think would dub it, Nagatoro?
You see, I want Justin Briner, the voice of Deku, to voice Senpai. I think Sarah Weidenheft, who does the voice of Toro and Miss Kobayashi Dragon Maid, she could do a really good Nagatoro, in my opinion.
Yes.
I
have no problems with her, but like, I just do not want her to be Monica, y'all. I can't. Please don't. You had Uzaki. Let's leave it there. You're fine. Yeah. Like,
I care so little about the American voice acting industry that I wouldn't even watch it. I would just watch it in Japanese.
Yeah. Well,
I've become that guy where basically all my anime is like, if it's not voice acted within the 90s or early 2000s, I don't care if it's in English or not. Everything should just be in Japanese from now on.
Yeah, mine's definitely a I prefer to sub, you know. I come a long way from being a when I was like a kid, you know, I was like all about dubs. You know, that's all I would watch. And what are these weird Japanese voices? But now I only watch subs. That's like what I prefer. But like every now and then, you'll catch me watching a dub. And if it's going to be existing, I want it to be done right. Now, I'm not going to watch it, but just because it's Nagatoro and I love it so much, I want it done right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious. I agree with every single bit of your assessment of that.
Yeah. So like, you know, I might not claim the kid, but I want him to go to a good college. I don't pay child support, but man, make sure he's not going to community. So my final thoughts on Nagatoro the anime is I've been talking about the manga a lot today. I'm sorry. But the anime is so good. It's so I'm in a cheerful bliss of like unfathomable breathtaking, because I never had a series get adapted that I love so much do it so well, you know. Yeah. I've never had that happen before, you know, and it's I'm really loving it so far. And the only thing better than this would be if Komi-san got an anime and it was done correctly.
And there are rumors of Komi-san getting an anime.
They got the IP for it or something like that. Whatever the equivalent of the IP is in the anime realm.
It's far too popular not to at this point.
Yeah, I just want it to be done right. Either do it right or don't do it at all. I can't afford. My heart can't take a bad adaptation of Komi-san. I can't do Berserk again.
I know. After what we just witnessed with The Way of the House Husband and how disappointing that was,
here's the thing about The Way of the House Husband is, I probably shouldn't go off topic, but like, I watched the first episode of that and I was like, what the fuck am I watching? But I love The House Husband, so I kept watching. Did stop caring after this episode 2. I watched a bit, I binged the entire thing, loved every minute of it. Definitely disappointing, definitely not what I was expecting, definitely not what I would wish.
The voice acting is great, but like, when
it was
fine.
Yeah.
When you expect an anime adaptation, you expect an anime adaptation.
Yeah, they should have came out and been a lot more open with
this is gonna be like a storyboard book version. Like,
yeah, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is not gonna be an anime. As soon as the trailer dropped, I'm like, this is not gonna be what people think it is. And sure enough, here we are. But whatever. But yeah, Nagatoro coming out, best girl of the year so far for me. I love her so much. I love the anime is doing it such justice, if not better justice. Like, it's such a perfect adaptation. That's all I can say.
Animation is top notch. Oh my gosh. Like, the way that they were able to translate the animation that was presented in the manga over to an actual anime. Oof.
Noodle arm Nagatoro. So there's a moment where I think they saved a little bit, because if you look at the opening, the ending's fantastic. I love it. And the opening, it reuses a lot of scenes from the... you can actually tell which episodes are going to be animated.
Yes.
Because they reuse a lot of animation for the opening. But it works so well.
Mm. Yeah, it's great.
It is great. And I totally agree with both of you. I am not disappointed at all whatsoever with this anime adaptation of Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. Animation superb. Voice acting is pitch perfect. Although there are chapters that they have seemingly skipped, unless they're waiting to do it at another time, the adaptation, the pacing has been just amazing. I think this is the first time since probably Dr. Stone where I've been reading a manga before seeing an anime adaptation and just being just perfectly happy with what I've been seeing on the big screen. So... I am just so stoked with how they've been adapting this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, for our listeners, you can catch Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro on Crunchyroll and Verve, and please do read the original manga from Kodansha. I fully believe that this is going to be a show that's getting a second season. Because if Takagi-san got a second season, if Uzaki-chan got a second season, then Nagatoro is going to get a second season.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and Nagatoro is easily just instantly more popular than Takagi-san as well.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Definitely has a more like powerful fan base, but definitely I think Nagatoro is like
100%
right now.
100%. Like the fan art alone.
If you know a Takagi-san fan, if they'll let you know they're there. Like,
anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of No Borders, No Race.
Thanks
for having us.
So, Dakota, please tell our listeners where they can find your stuff.
Oh, you can find me over at Dakota Broski. I just searched Dakota Broski at YouTube. And you can find me at Dakota Broski on Twitter. And that's about it. That's all I do. Twitch.tv/Dakota Broski, yada, yada, yada. I'll do editing streams when I edit Sydney's videos or Animax and other stuff. And I make videos on Nagatoro. Other great manga recommendations. I actually have a top 5 manga like Nagatoro, if you like that bullying aspect. So yeah, just I'm done plugging my shit and whoring myself out. Thank you.
It's true.
Well, you did mention like we should be looking out for the next video that you edited for Sydney, because you say it's the one you're most proud of.
Oh no, the intro is the one I'm most proud of, because she every now and then she'll do the "Hey guys, it's Igoral" intro, and I have to meme that up a little bit. I think I meme this up pretty good.
The
"Hey guys, it's your girl."
I bought $175 studio headphones just to have Cindy yell in my ear. Purchases are like.
All right, Andrew, as usual, where can our listeners find your stuff?
Well, first and foremost, it's been a while since I've had a chance to chat with Dakota, and I absolutely missed it. And I loved it.
We gotta do this more often.
I mean,
Anime Boston, let's go.
I know. Was it Anime Boston 2017, 2018? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was 2017, I believe.
It also reminded me that now that I have the new accounts, I'm following him on all my old accounts, but I got to follow you on all my new accounts too. So, like, what's up with that? I mean, you can still kind of find me in the Wicked Anime universe. So I'll plug that a little bit because I'm more of the webcomic guy now. So you can go find Wicked Anime at Wicked Anime or Facebook.com/WickedAnime or on YouTube where we don't really post videos anymore, but you can still find old videos, including one with Dakota Broski at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. And you can also find the link to the Wicked Anime Discord page, which is permanently open on facebook.com. So facebook.com/wickedanime, you can find the Discord invite, go join us on Discord. As for me, you can find me first and foremost at solariansun.com. That's solariansun.com to read my free webcomic where chapters 0 through 4 are now entirely free and chapter 5 is starting to be posted right now. And if you like what you see from chapters 0 through 4, you can join me over at patreon.com/AFLM where I am currently up to page 282 by the time this recording is going to be released. So that's 130 plus pages more of content from the free stuff on the website. So solariansun.com, patreon.com/AFLM, twitter.com/AFLM, facebook.com/AFLMart, Instagram @AFLMart.
Awesome. Hey, Andrew, Dakota, thank you again. This was a blast. Maybe we should reconvene when Jaro-sama comes on this summer.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a blast.
I guess this ends our monthly meeting of the Dark Skin Anime Go fan club then.
Alrighty. Do it next time when Josh comes out. Let's go.
We've just made a thing.
And now, here's one of my favorite new acts of 2020, Nitrous M1, because I'm a sucker for classically stringed metal. From last year's Dreams and Devastations album, this is Raising Light.
Light. Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from IssuesProgram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out IssuesProgram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out IssuesProgram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Oh, man.
acoustic album Me, that was Sayeri with Anonymous. Sayeri will hopefully hit the road later this summer in support of her upcoming single, Atashi to Kamisama. Okay, folks, I haven't done this in well over a month, so bear with me. So shite ima minasan, konshu no Nihongo yoyaku no jikan desu. Sa, ikou ze! Mortal Kombat ga eiga kan ni kaette kita. Action wa subarashii desu ga, video game no seishin ga kakete imasu. Kono eiga de wa, motto ryuketsu shin ga hitsuyou desu. Jikai wa sukoshi dake de naku, eiga zentai ni boryoku shin ga motto aru to omoimasu. Pac-Man 99 wa, Shōchō teki na video game o Battle Royale no ryōiki ni motarashimashita. Omoshiroi desu ga, Tetris 99 yori mo sara ni tafu desu. Pac-Man 99 ga fukunde iru yokyō fumen ga, kono game no jūmyō ni ekkyō wa oteru kanosei ga aru to omoimasu. Shikashi, watashi ga machigatte iru koto ga shoumei sareru koto o negatte imasu. Saigo ni, ijiranai de Nagotaro-san wa manga kara anime eno saikko no tenken no hitotsu desu. Animation wa subarashiku, seiyuu wa kanpeki de, Dakota Brodsky AFLM, soshite watashi jishin mo warai to atatakai kimochi de mitashite kurimasu. Ominogashi naku! My thanks again to my teacher, Mikio Hattori-sensei. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, please be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. Here's the latest single from Fana, who were just announced to be returning to craft the opening theme to the new season of Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. I just hope it's just as memorable as the previous song. But for now, this is Nameless Color.
ここまで歩いてきた Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
By Ruth Blake, that was Call Bearers with Solid Suppose, a B-side from their recent single, Burst Through the Borders. This marks Call Bearers' second time collaborating with Ruth Blake, who also aided in the release of their previous single, Overcomes a Cloud. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade, and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat.
promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Call Bearers, Nitrous M1, and Ernest Moon, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. A very special thank you to Ruth Blake, Liani Kaleido, and Distant Voices for their contributions to the last three Shameless Tuesdays. My thanks once again to AFLM and Dakota Broski for coming on by to chat about Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. Be sure to check out AFLM's Solarian Sun webcomic and like and subscribe to Dakota Broski's YouTube page. We're ending the show with the anime voice acting legend Megumi Hayashibara, who has returned to the popular franchise Shaman King, which is sadly in Netflix jail over here. Once again, she has also recorded the anime's theme song, which is always a badass J-pop banger. Here now is Megumi Hayashibara with Soul Salvation. And until next time, this is your King Baby Doc, remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bash Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.